This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing on with our series on أسماء الله الحسنى, the most beautiful names of Allah, we come today to cover the last names that we're going to be covering, inshallah. And so today we'll be concluding this series. Just like last week, we had names that were just random, not related to each other in terms of their meanings. Today we have four names remaining, and they are Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Al-Dayyan. Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Al-Dayyan. Al-Mu'min has been mentioned how many times in the Quran? And where has it been mentioned? Once in Surah Al-Hashr. And so those 17 names at the end of Surah Al-Hashr, we've covered all of them. The only one that remains that we have not covered is Al-Mu'min. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. So we have Al-Mu'min, and this is where it is mentioned. Allah explicitly states that he is Al-Mu'min. As for An-Nur, also, it's only been mentioned once, and that is in Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur. Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. Allah is the Nur of the heavens and the earth. It's also been mentioned in a hadith, in a dua. The Prophet Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, he says that whenever Rasulullah got up in the middle of the night to pray tahajjud, he would say, Allahumma lakal hamd, anta nuru samawati wal ard wa man fihin wa lakal hamd. O Allah, all praise belongs to you, and you are the nur of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in it. As for Al-Warith, this name has not been mentioned in the singular form, but it has been mentioned in the plural form in the Quran in three different places. And so in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ. It is we who give life and cause death, and we are al-warithun. Al-warithun. And we mentioned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions himself in the plural form, what it means is the greatness of Allah. It's basically indicating his greatness. And also in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And when Zakaria made dua to Allah, Ya Rabb, do not leave me without a child. You are the best of al-warithin. And the third place is in Surah Al-Qasas. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطِيرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَنْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. How many towns have we destroyed that had been spoiled by their comfortable living? These are their dwellings, never inhabited after them except passingly, and we alone were al-warithun. Al-warithun. It's also been mentioned in the verb form in Surah Maryam, inna nahnu narithu al-arda wa man 'alayha wa ilayna yurja'un. Narithu, right? Allah says we inherit. It is we who will inherit the earth and whatever is on it, and to us they will all be returned. As for Ad-Dayyan, it hasn't been mentioned in the Quran, but rather by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmed. Abdullah ibn Unais, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that the people will be gathered on the day of resurrection naked, uncircumcised, and impoverished. So we said, what does impoverished mean? So he said, they will not have anything with them. So they will come without anything, without any material possessions. The Prophet ﷺ said, then it will be called out to them. It will be, an announcement will be made by Allah, I am Al-Malik, and I am Ad-Dayyan. Ana Al-Malik wa Ana Ad-Dayyan. It is not appropriate for any of the people of the hellfire to enter the hellfire when he still owes something by one of the people of Jannah until I restore his dues. And it is not appropriate for any of the people of Jannah to enter Jannah when he owes something to one of the people of the hellfire until I restore his dues. So we asked, Ya Rasulullah, how, when we will only come to Allah naked, uncircumcised, and impoverished? Meaning, how will we pay back, you know, anything that is due to someone else? So the Prophet ﷺ said, with good and bad deeds. With good and bad deeds. And so this tells us that, you know, basically, the importance of making sure that we pay back any that is due to anyone in the dunya before we come on the day of judgment without anything, and then what will be taken from us are our good deeds. As for al-mu'min, and so here in this hadith, clearly the Prophet ﷺ says, "Wa ana dayyan," I am a dayyan. As for so these are where all these names have been mentioned. So now we move on to the meanings of these names. What do these names mean? Starting with al-mu'min. Al-mu'min basically comes from two root words, or they can be traced back to two different meanings. One is from iman, and the other is from amn. The one is from iman, and the other one is from amn. So, al-mu'min is a person of iman, right? The person of iman. So Allah is, what does it mean that Allah is al-mu'min? It means that he is the source of iman. And he is the one who bestows iman. He is the one who gives iman. And he is also the one who testifies to the iman of the believers. So Allah testifies that what the believers say when they say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Allah testifies that what they say and what they believe in is actually the truth. So he himself is a witness to the truth that he has sent for us to believe in. Allah himself is a witness to the truth that he has sent us, that he has sent for us to believe in. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. You know, it's not just we who testify, right, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. But Allah himself has testified to that. Allah says here, Allah himself testifies that there is none to be worshipped except him, and also the angels testify, and the people of knowledge. So this is the meaning of al-mu'min when it comes from iman. As for al-amn, al-amn means safety, security, well-being. So Allah is the source of safety and security, granting security and safety to whomever he wills, in this dunya as well as in the next, removing fear from the hearts of the believers. Removing fear from the hearts of the believers. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in many different places in the Quran, that the believers, they will be told at the time of death, لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There will be no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. And so Allah grants them safety and security in this dunya as well as in the akhirah. So he is the source of amn. And this is where this name is also similar to what other name that we mentioned last week? As-salam, right? We mentioned two meanings of as-salam, and one of those meanings was similar to this. As for an-nur, an-nur means light, right? It means light. So Allah being an-nur means that he is the light of everything. He is the light of the entire creation. Meaning, as he himself says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, everything. Meaning, he illuminates everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminates everything. And the most important thing that Allah illuminates is what? The heart of the believer. So when we think of light, it's not only material, physical light, right? But it's also that light in the heart. And so Allah illuminates it with iman. And that is the parable that Allah mentions in this ayah, in Surah An-Nur, when Allah says that he is the light of the heavens and the earth. And then he says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مُصْبَاحٍ. The example of his light is like a lantern. Is like a lantern, which is placed in a niche. Right? In the old days, what they would do is, in their homes, they would make like a ledge or a niche in the wall. Right? And then they would place a lantern there. And then it would reflect everywhere. So look at this parable that Allah mentions here. That Allah's light is like a lantern, which is كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مصباح. Like a light, a lantern, that is in a niche. And then this lantern, al-misbahu fi zujaja, This lantern is encased by glass. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالزُّجَاجَةُ أَزُّجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّيٌ يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. That this lantern is inside of a glass, and the glass was as if it was a shining star, lit from the oil of a very blessed tree. Which tree is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ زَيْتُونَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَةٍ يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lit from the oil of a very blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow even if it was untouched by fire. That's how powerful the oil is. That's how blessed the oil is of the olive tree. Nurun ala nur, light upon light. Right? Notice, this is the strongest that a light can become. When you add all of these factors, right? It's not just one factor, but several factors, right? You know, its location, clear glass, the source of the light, where is it coming from? Right? And then Allah ends by saying, light upon light. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to His light whomever He wishes. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. And Allah presents parables for the people. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah knows all things. Allah knows all things. So what is a parable here? What is the example? Basically, Allah is trying to get us to understand that He illuminates the heart with iman. Right? Add to that guidance. Add to that, you know, love for Allah. A pure heart. Right? Light upon light. Right? Light upon light. And Allah tells us that He presents these kinds of parables for the people. As for al-warith means the one who inherits, right? From al-irth, from irth. So the one who inherits, or we can say the one who succeeds, right? So what does that mean with respect to Allah? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who remains after everyone is gone. Allah alone remains when everyone is gone. Right? Al-warith, someone who inherits from you. Right? You die and you have people who are going to inherit your wealth from you. You're gone. And now these people inherit. Right? So Allah being warith means that in the end, Allah alone will remain when everyone is gone. And Allah is one who, to whom everyone returns. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everlasting ownership of all that has ever been and all that will ever be. Because someone who inherits from someone else, right? Even if he inherits a huge fortune, $1 million, in the end of the day, that person is also going to die. And then that money is going to go to someone else. And in this way, it's going to continue to be passed on from one person to the other. Right? In the end, who remains? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has everlasting ownership. Whereas we human beings, we have temporary ownership. And so Allah is the one to whom all possessions return when the possessor is gone. And it also means that Allah is the one who inherits. He inherits all that we have done. He inherits all that we have done. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kullu man alayha fan, that everyone upon the earth will perish. No one's going to remain. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, only your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of majesty and honor, he will remain forever. As for Ad-Dayyan, this is the last name that we have, Ad-Dayyan. Ad-Dayyan comes from the word deen, or dana yadinu, to recompense. And Allah has referred to the Day of Judgment as Yawm al-Din. Yawm al-Din, Maliki Yawm al-Din. What does that mean? It means the day of recompense. The day of recompense. So it means, so Allah being al-Dayyan means that He is the one who is going to judge us and recompense us for our deeds, good and bad. And so on the Day of Judgment, when we will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with absolutely nothing, right? As the Prophet ﷺ said, naked, barefooted, right? With nothing. Allah will bring us to account and recompense us for our deeds. الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. On this day, every soul will be rewarded for what he has done, recompensed for what he has done. لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمَ. On this day, there will be no injustice. On this day, there will be no injustice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Surely Allah is quick in, you know, reckoning, in judging. All right, so these are the last remaining names that we wanted to cover in this series. We move on to the lessons that we learned from these names. The first lesson is from Allah's name, Al-Mu'min. And what we learned from this name of Allah, Al-Mu'min, is that one of the greatest and most comforting proofs for our iman is that Allah has testified to it, right? Allah has testified to it. And so it's very comforting when you believe in something and you testify to it and you have someone else to come and say, I also testify with you. Whereas if you're all by yourself, right, and you come and testify to something and everyone says you're a liar and everyone opposes you and you're all by yourself, right? And so when you learn that Allah is Al-Mu'min, right, this gives us a sense of comfort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies with us, right? And so this is seen in the dunya in the form of proofs that Allah aids the prophets and the messengers with, and in the akhirah in the form of direct verification, right? So in the dunya you have the prophets and the messengers, they're all by themselves, they're calling their people and their people are rejecting them, right? So Allah gives them proofs, right? And in the akhirah, you know, everyone will see for themselves the truth. The second lesson that we learn also from Allah's name, Al-Mu'min, it teaches us that Allah has guaranteed the safety and security of His believing servants. So a true believer should never fear. He should have nothing to fear. Any calamity or worry that strikes us, there's nothing to be afraid of, but rather the way you should treat it is that there is good in it. there is good in it, and our end will be one of safety and security. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at the time of death, the angels come, you know, to the believers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Those who said, we believe, they said, our Lord is Allah, and they remained steadfast, firm upon that. The angels will come to them, meaning at the time of death, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, saying to them, you know, there is nothing for you to fear nor grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ, and we give you the glad tidings of Jannah that you were promised with. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, this is a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by my glory and my might, I do not combine two securities and two fears for my servant. What does that mean? I don't combine between two safeties and two fears for my servant. That's what the remaining of the hadith mentions. So Allah says, by my glory and my might, I do not combine two securities and two fears for my servant. If he feels safe in the dunya, I will make him fear on the day I gather my servants. And if he fears me in the dunya, I will make him safe on the day that I gather my servants. So you're only going to experience fear or safety once, either in the dunya or in the akhirah. You're not going to have a sense of fear and safety together in one realm, in one of the two worlds. And this is in the general sense, right? This is in the general sense, not in specific situations, right? So there could be times when the believer, he's afraid of certain things, right? But we're talking about in the general sense, right? The point is that Allah being al-mu'min means that He grants safety and security to the believers. The third lesson that we learn is from Allah's name, An-Nur. And Allah being An-Nur, this is a name, and it is also an attribute of Allah. Right? This is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we mean by attribute? Meaning that Allah has light. So His name is the light, but He also has light. You know, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand, He has a face, right? Allah also has light that is from Himself. No, we don't refer to Allah's attributes in that way. So when it comes to the attributes of Allah, we don't refer to them as being physical or non-physical. So Allah has a hand, He has a face, right? He has fingers, right? And this was a problem that some of the sects of the past, they fell into. This was exactly the problem that they fell into. They looked at these attributes, they found them in the Quran and in the Sunnah explicitly mentioned, but then they said, we cannot affirm them as they are. Why? Because they thought of it in that way. They said, if Allah is attributed with these, then it means that He has physical properties, just like the creation. He has a limb, it's physical, etc. So they were resembling Allah to His creation, and then this made them to do one of two things. One group, they said, we're going to outright reject these attributes. We don't attribute to Allah these attributes. The other group, they said, well, we can't reject something that's clearly mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. So let us reinterpret it. Let us give these attributes metaphorical meanings. Right? So when it comes to the light of Allah, the same thing. We say Allah has light, but it is not like the light of His creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes His attributes. Where do we find Allah attributing to Himself light? Besides Surah An-Nur, that's a name. Allah, Nur samawati wal ard. But Allah says He has light. There is light from Allah. Okay, yes, that can be used. And that's mentioned in more than one place. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to extinguish the light of Allah. And Allah refuses... وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ. Allah refuses that His light should be extinguished. But there's another ayah, more explicit, because that light clearly refers to the deen of Allah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. The earth will shine with the light of Allah. The earth will shine, meaning on the Day of Judgment, with the light of its Lord. With the light of its Lord. And the Prophet ﷺ also attributed to Allah light. When he said, حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. The veil of Allah is light. Meaning, there is a veil between Allah and His creation. The Prophet ﷺ says, لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَتْ إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, his light, his veil, his hijab is light. If he was to remove this veil, then the glory of his face would burn everything of his creation as far as the gaze of Allah reaches. And we know Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah. So Allah came, right, before the mountain. And Allah told Musa alayhi salam that, you know, you'll only be able to see me if when I come before the mountain, this mountain remains stable. But it didn't, right? Allah tells us this in Surah Al-A'raf, in the story of Musa alayhi salam. Allah tells us that when he came before the mountain crumbled, right? Now, which one is stronger? The mountain or Musa alayhi salam? The mountain. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this. Allah wanted to show Musa alayhi salam that if this mountain can't remain stable because, you know, I am coming in front of it, then how will you be able to? And you're a weak human being. Right? So anyways, the point here is that Allah has a light. And that is His veil. And we do not say that the attributes of Allah are created. Right? The attributes of Allah are not created. So this is a different kind of light. Right? It's not like the light of the sun, the light of the stars. No. The attributes of Allah, which are from His very essence, are uncreated, and we don't know how they are. Right? We don't know how they are. We cannot even imagine how the attributes of Allah are. So we simply say, Allah has light, it is from His attributes, and we leave it at that. We don't delve into it, we don't try to explain it. The fourth lesson that we learn also from Allah's name, An-Nur, is that iman. Iman is something that illuminates in the heart and repels anything that opposes it. And so iman is described as being light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to, you know, those who He takes out from darkness into light. يُخْرِجُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah brings out the believers from darkness into light, the light of iman. And Allah illuminates the heart with this iman. When this iman is there, it's like light, in the sense that if it's strong, it will repel. It will repel anything that opposes that iman, of kufr, of shubuhat, of doubts. Right? The stronger this light is in the heart, the more it will be able to repel anything that tries to come into the heart that opposes that iman. And so whoever wants that light, he needs to enable his heart to receive it. How? By purifying the heart. And by cleaning it out, flushing it out of shubuhat and shahawat. Our hearts is where, you know, doubts come into, shubuhat. And also, shahawat, those lustful desires. These are, you know, the trials, the fitan of shubuhat and shahawat. If your heart is filled with that, then the light of iman is going to be dim. It's going to be weak. And so anytime a shubha comes, you'll easily fall for it. Anytime something tempting, a shahwa, is in front of your eyes, you're going to easily fall for it. Why? Because the light of iman is dim. It's not strong. It's unable to repel those fitan. And so we need to work on purifying our hearts of these two things, so that the light of iman, you know, is able to settle into the heart and become strong. And not everyone is suitable for this light. Not every heart is suitable for this light. That's why, what does Allah say in the same ayah at the end? يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to His light whomever He wills. Meaning, there are some who, you know, Allah chooses to give it to. Those who He knows their hearts are suitable for it, that their hearts will accept it and then will grow with that light. And then there are those who Allah knows that their hearts are not suitable for it. We move on to the next lesson, and this is from Allah's name, Al-Warith. From Allah's name, Al-Warith, we learn that all of us are going to go. All of us are going to go and leave this dunya, including those who succeed us, including those who will inherit from us. Because many times when, you know, you think about leaving this dunya, all you're thinking about are your children. Right? That's all you think about. And many times we do whatever we do, we tire ourselves out in this dunya for the sake of our children, for a better future for them. Right? But we don't realize that even they are one day going to leave. Right? But the only one who will succeed and inherit from the last of us is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of Allah being Al-Warith. And so after everything is gone, people are gone, and these qualities of theirs are all gone, greed, lust, selfishness, when all of that has been laid to rest, the only one who will remain is Al-Warith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is in Sahih Muslim, regarding this money, this wealth that we're so attached to, you know, we don't want to give it up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the son of Adam says, Mali, Mali, my wealth, my wealth. And then he said, do you own of your wealth other than what you eat and consume? And what you wear and wear out? Or what you give in sadaqah and what you will have in stock for you? Meaning, our money, we earn it and then we spend it. Right? We spend it in this dunya on ourselves. And so it goes. It comes and it goes. But the only thing that will remain is what we have given in sadaqah. That is the investment, right, for our akhirah. Also from Allah's name, Al-Warith, we learn that our wealth is not really ours, nor those who inherit it from us when we leave. All that we possess, you know, even our bodies are nothing but a loan for a moment as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see what we will do with these possessions, which is why this is the greatest motivation to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend out of that which Allah has made you successive inheritors of. Allah is reminding us that this money that we have, we inherited it from others. It doesn't belong to us. Right? For the most part, this money that we have, don't think that you did something to earn it. No, Allah gave it to you from someone else. It came from someone else, and it is now in your hands. And it's going to leave from your hands and go into the hands of someone else. So Allah is encouraging us to give and spend fi sabilillah for that reason. Right? Because a lot of people, they're hesitant to give because they think this is mine. Why should I give up something that belongs to me? So Allah is reminding us that no. Spend out of that which He has made you successive inheritors of. And Allah says, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Why should you not spend in the cause of Allah when Allah is the sole inheritor of the heavens and the earth? Allah is the one who's going to inherit everything that is on the earth. Everything's going back to Him. So this money that is with you, you're not going to take it with you to your grave. It's going to go to someone else, and then someone else, and eventually, in the end, it's going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan, we learn that Allah will be the judge for the day of recompense, for Yawm al-Din, the day in which we will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of our deeds at hand, and Allah will recompense us based on that. Allah will recompense us based on that. And so the intelligent person basically prepares himself from now. Right? From now, bringing himself to account today before he is brought to account tomorrow. As Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Bring yourselves to account before you are brought to account. And the final lesson that we'll mention is that Ad-Dayyan, Allah's name Ad-Dayyan, also teaches the oppressed and the subjugated that there will definitely come a day in which Ad-Dayyan will bring justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set the day of judgment for that reason. To bring justice. Right? And so, when you're oppressed and you're subjugated by others, keep that in mind. You know, when you keep that in mind, it brings comfort to you in very difficult times. When there's no way to get justice, right? You've tried everything and you're oppressed and there's no way to get justice, remember that there is a day in which justice will be served. And that's what Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan, teaches us. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not think that Allah is unaware of what the wrongdoers, the oppressors, are doing. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. He's only delaying them for a day when the eyes will be watching in horror. In fact, believing in this is also logical. Meaning, believing in a day in which justice will be served, this is also something logical. Right? And this is one of the proofs that there is going to be life after death. How? You know, if you have a non-Muslim who doesn't believe in life after death, you could convince him and you could use this as a proof. How? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I was going to just add that there's also a need for divine justice because humans can't give justice in this world completely. So there's a need for it to be in the afterlife.
Yes, exactly. So you tell him, if you believe in a creator who created us, right? That creator, he has to be just. Right? That's an inherent attribute of his. Right? Hands down, everyone believes this, that the Creator is all knowledgeable, He is the all wise, and He is also the most just. And if you believe He is the most just, then that means He cannot allow injustices in the world to go unanswered. Yes, in this world there will be people who will get away without justice being served. But if Allah is the all-just, then, you know, it doesn't make sense that after this life, we just, that's it. We live and we die and that's it. That's the end of it. That doesn't make sense. Right? That just does not make sense. Where is justice served then? When will justice be served? So there has to be a day when justice will be served. And that is Yawmuddin, the day of recompense. And so these are some of the lessons that we learn from these four names of Allah: Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Ad-Dayyan. And so in conclusion, after going through precisely 110 names of Allah, we have gone through 110 names of Allah since the beginning of this series, you know, we've learned where they have been mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We've gone through their meanings, what these names mean, and we went through, you know, lessons that we can learn from all of these names. And so, in conclusion, it's about time for us to make these names a part of our lives. And so the difference between the believer and the disbeliever is that a believer's heart is filled with iman, as we mentioned, right? About the light of Allah in the heart of the believer. So the difference between a mu'min and a kafir is that the mu'min, his heart is filled with iman and a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that connection with Allah should not be superficial, but one that causes the believer to be mindful of Allah, to know Allah, to love Allah, to fear Allah, to rely upon Allah and trust Him, to look forward to His mercy, His forgiveness, to look forward to His support, His victory, His relief, His help, and also to never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are meanings that exist in the heart. These are all meanings that exist in the heart. And then all of that, what does it do? It then pushes and drives, you know, the believer to action, to only do what is pleasing to Allah, to only do that which will earn him the reward of Allah in the Akhirah. And then these meanings, you know, when you get to know Allah through all of these names, right, as we have done, this then also causes you to use these names to call upon Allah, right? Once you've learned, you know, who Ar-Rahman is, who is Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Aziz, and all of these names that we've gone through. Once you've learned these names of Allah and what they mean, now you will call out to Allah with these names. Because Allah does not have one name. We don't only say, Ya Allah, right? But Allah has multiple names. And that was the whole point of this series, to learn what are the names of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, the most beautiful names. So make dua to Him through them. Call out to Allah through these names. Allah is commanding us here to call upon Him through His names. And, you know, Allah says, قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدُعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Say, O Muhammad, call upon Allah or call upon Ar-Rahman. Say, Ya Allah, or say, Ya Rahman. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever of them you call upon, then to Allah belong the most beautiful names. Meaning, call upon Allah through any of these names. Right? Especially those names that are suitable for what you are asking for. So if you're asking for mercy, say, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. If you're asking Allah for forgiveness, say, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Sattar, Ya Afu. If you're asking Allah for help or for victory, Ya Nasir, Ya, you know, Ya Qadir, Ya Aziz, and so on and so forth, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about the names of Allah that inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'una isman man ahsaha mi'atan illa wahida man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and this hadith is in Bukhari, that to Allah belong 99 names, whoever enumerates them, he will enter Jannah. What does that mean? It means whoever memorizes them and learns their meanings and then acts by them, for him will be Jannah. But as we mentioned in the very beginning, this hadith does not mean that Allah's names are restricted to 99. We spoke about this, and we mentioned that this hadith does not prove that Allah's names are restricted only to 99. But here the Prophet ﷺ said that to Allah belong 99 names. He didn't say Allah only has 99 names. So to Allah belong 99 names, meaning he has more than that as well. Right? And so, let us make these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a part of our lives that are not, you know, separated from us, only turning to Him and calling upon Him at every moment. And also living by those names of Allah that can be lived by in our lives. So we mentioned, as we went through these names, that some names, they belong solely to Allah, right? No one can be attributed with these names, right? Like Ar-Rahman, or As-Samad, right? Or Allah's name, Allah. Right? These are unique to Allah. There's no way for a human being to be characterized with one of these things. But then there are other names of Allah that, you know, we can be, referred to, like Rahim, Kareem, Malik, Aziz, right? And what we learn from that is that we should try to be characterized with these qualities, right? Afu as well, pardoning others, you know? So Kareem, being generous, and so on and so forth. So not only should we be using these names to make dua to Allah with these names, but also try to live with them, try to live by them in our lives. I'll end with this statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Tariq al-Hijratayn. He says, it's a very beautiful statement, he says, لَيْسَتْ حَاجَةَ الْأَرْوَاحِ قَطٌ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنْهَا إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ بَارِيهَا وَفَاطِرِهَا وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى هَذَا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْصَافِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ فَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ بِهَا أَعْلَمْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ وَلَهُ أَطْلَبْ وَإِلَيْهِ أَقْرَبْ وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ لَهَا أَنْكَرْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَجْهَلْ وَإِلَيْهِ أَكْرَهْ وَمِنْهُ أَبْعَدْ وَاللَّهُ يُنْزِلُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ حَيْثُ يُنْزِلُهُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ فَالسَّيْرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ شَأْنُهُ عَجِيبٌ وفتحه عجيب صاحبه قد سيقت له السعادة وهو مستلق على فراشه غير تعب ولا مكتود ولا مشتت عن وطنه ولا مشرد عن سكنه. He says, the need for the souls for knowing their creator is greater than any other need. And there is no way to this knowledge except through understanding his names and attributes. The more knowledgeable a servant is of them, the more acquainted they will become with Allah, seeking Him more earnestly and drawing nearer to Him. Conversely, the more ignorant one is of these attributes, the less they know of Allah, the more averse they are to Him, and the further they become from Him. Allah places a person close to Himself according to the level of closeness that person seeks with Him. Journeying to Allah through His names and attributes is a marvel. Its openings are wonders. The one who attains it has been granted joy while lying peacefully in their bed, neither weary nor worn out, nor forced from their home or place of comfort. Meaning, you know, you don't have to go far to experience this joy. You don't have to travel, right? In the comfort of your home, just learn about Allah and you'll be in a state of joy and a state of happiness. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says, إن معرفة الله تعالى تدعو إلى محبته وخشيته ورجائه وإخلاص العمل له، وهذا عين سعادة العبد. ولا سبيل إلى معرفة الله إلا بمعرفة أسمائه وصفاته والتفقه في فهم معانيها، بل حقيقة الإيمان أن يعرف الرب الذي يؤمن به ويبذل جهده في معرفة أسمائه وصفاته حتى يبلغ درجة اليقين، وبحسب معرفته بربه يكون إيمانه، فكلما ازداد معرفة بربه ازداد إيمانه. He says, knowing Allah leads one to love Him, fear Him, hope in Him, and dedicate one's actions sincerely to Him. And this is the essence of a servant's happiness. There is no way to know Allah except through an understanding of His names and attributes, and by deeply contemplating their meanings. Indeed, the reality of Iman is that a person should know the Lord they believe in, striving to understand His names and attributes until they reach the level of Yaqeen, the level of certainty. The more one knows about their Lord, the stronger their Iman becomes. Thus, as knowledge of Allah increases, so does one's Iman. And so, at the conclusion of this series, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Iman and to grant us an understanding of His names and His attributes, and to make us from among those who, you know, not just learn these names theoretically, but then also apply them in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in Iman and to increase us in Amal. And with that, we shall conclude this session. And we can now, you know, take any questions.
Before we went to questions, we just wanted to mention, so alhamdulillah, this is the first class that we've concluded with Sheikh Kalam. Alhamdulillah, the class did start many months ago, but many of you we've seen coming consistently have been able to complete the class with the Sheikh. We will be having many more, more classes, inshallah, series going on. We'll be announcing a new series very soon, inshallah, but this will be on Friday night. We can announce it now, I guess. Yeah, so we actually waited a very long time for Sheikh Kalam. We asked him to do this series even before he joined us for about a year. But alhamdulillah, now he's finished with the other masjid, so he's going to bring inshallah be a series on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from beginning till from the whole seerah, inshallah. So this will be beginning on Friday, inshallah. We will be having also refreshments and something nice for people to partake in. This will be on Friday, inshallah. As well, because of the time change, things will be moving. So it will be between Isha, after Isha, inshallah. That in like once next week, Isha will be at 6 o'clock. Oh, sorry, 7 o'clock. Iqam will be at 7 o'clock, inshallah. So from Isha onwards will be the Sira class, inshallah. Just wanted to mention that, inshallah. May Allah bless you all and the Sheikh for the time and the research and the effort in presenting the names of Allah to us. Jazakallah khair.
Allah barik. Jazakallah khair. So the Friday halaqa will be it's going to be more of a community event and a family gathering where everyone, inshallah ta'ala, will be able to benefit, young and old, and, you know, the families and everyone, inshallah ta'ala, will be going through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from, you know, birth until death, inshallah ta'ala. And it won't be just a simple seerah that everyone knows, but more in-depth, inshallah. And not just learning the events that took place in his life, but more trying to derive lessons from everything that happened in his life. And also, since we're done this class, this has been going on every Wednesday. The next class that we're going to start on Wednesday, inshallah, next week, We can also announce that, and that will be on the parables of the Quran, Amthal al Quran. So today we noticed we covered one parable of the Quran, right? And that is the light of Allah, right? That's mentioned in Surah An-Nur. So that's just one parable of many that are mentioned in the Quran. And so we're going to go through all of the parables that have been mentioned in the Quran, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, starting next week. And that will also be after Isha. So basically, moving forward from next week, moving forward, all of our classes that have been taking place on various days, they will all be after Isha, bi-idhnillah, from 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the Friday halaqah as well, insha'Allah ta'ala. If there's any questions, we could take those now. So the question is regarding Allah's name Al-Warith that we spoke about today. So this concept that Allah mentions in the Quran of us giving a good loan to Allah so that He gives it back to us multiplied. And that refers to giving sadaqah. And so when we give sadaqah, Allah tells us it's as if we're giving Allah a loan. But when it comes to Allah, you know, there's no limit to His fadl and His bounty, so He would obviously return it with something far better. This name, Al-Warith, does not really refer to that, right? Unless you look at it from the perspective that we mentioned, that ayah, where, you know, give from what, we have made, مُسْتَخْلِفِينَ فِيهِ, what we have made, basically what you have gotten from others, right? So from that angle, perhaps, right? But otherwise, it's a different concept of us giving to Allah a good loan, because al-warith means more that, you know, everything is from Allah and everything is going back to Allah in the general sense. Wallahu a'lam. Who?
The Ismailiyah.
Mm-hmm.
Using that Al-Nur as if it's their prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So would that take them out of Islam?
So the question is, the Ismaili sect, they believe that the name An-Nur that belongs to Allah, they have used it for one of their prophets. Does that take them out of Islam? No, there are many other things that take them out of Islam before that. Yeah.
But in terms of this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Claiming that it's.
Yes.
That Al-Nur mentioned in Quran is their prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. We're not allowed to give something from Allah's names and attributes that belong solely to Allah to give it to someone other than Allah. This would constitute what is known as shirk fil asma'i wa sifat. So we have three kinds of tawheed. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah. Tawheed al-uluhiyyah, or tawheed al-ibadah, which is the worship of Allah, that He alone deserves to be worshipped. And number three, tawheed al-asma' wa sifat, the tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. And when you go against each of these kinds of tawheed, it's shirk. So there's shirk in rububiyyah, there's shirk in uluhiyya, and then there's shirk in asma wa sifat. And this is what you mentioned is an example of that. To give a name that belongs to Allah, to give it to a human being. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah, so the way to translate ad-dayyan, like I said, deen means recompense. So yawm ad-deen, the day of recompense. So the idea that you're going to be judged and then you're going to be recompensed. So if you did good, you're going to be recompensed with good. If you did evil, you're going to be recompensed with evil. So you could say ad-dayyan is the judge, or the one who recompenses. I don't know if it's a name, if it's a word in English, compensator. But if it is, then yeah, that is perhaps the closest thing. Allahu a'lam.
Also,
yeah.
I had a question about like the giving Allah's name to a human. Like some people have their name like Al-Hakim, or they have like Rahim in their name. Like what's the rule?
Yeah. So when it comes to the names of Allah that we have as human beings, basically what we're not allowed to do is to have the name with the alif lam, al, because that is only Allah. So when we say, for example, Kareem, al-Kareem is only Allah, al-Kareem. So the definite version of the name. The definitive method of, you know, that's the meaning of alif lam, to basically make a name or a noun into the definite form. And that is only for Allah. That's why when we refer to Allah, we refer to Him as Al-Kareem, Ar-Rahman, and so on. All of Allah's names are like that. And then if you want to use that for yourself, you have to drop the alif lam. So Kareem, Aziz, Alim, etc. However, if you want to keep the alif lam, the only way to do that is by adding what in the beginning? Abd. Right? So Abdul Rahman, Abdul Kareem, etc. That's different. Fadl al-Rahman is the bounty of Allah al-Rahman. So that's more, you know, you can call those attributes of Allah. Wallahu a'lam. So the question is about qard hasana, where you give a loan, which is obviously you're expecting it back. You're expecting it back. So whether you give it to an individual to help him out, or whether you give it to a noble cause, to a masjid, and you expect it to be returned to you. So you're asking about the ayah that we mentioned?
Yeah.
The one who gives a good loan to Allah?
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So when Allah says, you know, who is going to give a good loan to Allah? من الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا? Who will give a good قرض حسنا to Allah so that He returns it? This ayah and other similar ayat is talking about sadaqah, right? Where you give it and you don't expect it back in that same monetary form. So pure sadaqah. You've given it to Allah, you don't expect that same thing to come back to you in the dunya from the people. But maybe Allah will give it back to you in a different way, or in the same form, in the form of money, for example. Right? Now, if you do give a qard hasana expecting it, you know, back, then you will get rewarded for that. Right? you will get rewarded for that, but it won't be the same reward. Right? For sure, you'll be rewarded for that, but it won't be the same reward. And it's not referring to what Allah mentions in the ayah. Wallahu a'lam. Yes, it's wrong. Adding the Alif Lam, this is Allah's name. And if you want to keep it for yourself, you have to drop the Alif Lam or keep the Abd in the front. Because what it is that many people, their parents name them as Abdul Rahman or Abdul Hakim. But because of their ignorance of Islam and, you know, not knowing these concepts, they think it's okay to get rid of the Abd, to make things easy. But they don't realize they also have to get rid of the Alif Lam, the Al. So this is something that we need to educate Muslims about. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll conclude with that for today, inshallah ta'ala. And inshallah next week, as I mentioned, we're going to be moving on to Amthal al-Qur'an, the parables of the Qur'an. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.